Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to News 24 On Air, our live audio service. My name is Kwanita Hunter. We're joined today by Rise Mzansi leader Songezo Zibi. Songezo, you are an author. You are a former editor, former corporate communications specialist, and now you want to be president. My first question to you, Songezo, is why do you want to be president?
Well, it's much less about being president and more about contributing towards fundamentally changing the country, not just the direction, but just how it works politically, economically, and some of the social ills that we have. Politics is one of the ways in which you can do that. But we don't have a presidential system in South Africa, so one has got to be prepared to go to parliament to contribute there, and I'm prepared.
You are the leader of Rise Mzansi. How has it been forming a political party in South Africa, and what's it like?
Sure, the only thing harder is parenting. It's very hard. It's really hard because you start literally everything from scratch. So to give you an idea, we only moved into an office of our own in October. So from the time that we launched, we were like squatting still and working from Doppio and places like that. I was working from home a lot of the time. So you got to mobilize resources. You got to find people. And then you got to find the right office, right location. And then there's a work you got to do on the ground to find organizers, volunteers, give political education, and so on. It's a lot. And sometimes it feels like you're standing still, but it's been rewarding.
So in the past, when political parties were formed, it's generally around a cult figure that usually comes from another political party, whether it's the ANC or the DA, and they sort of come with their friends and then form a political party. When I look at your team, I'm looking at the Rise Mzansi website. There's yourself, but there's also some very interesting people.
Yes.
Vuyiswa Ramakgopa. I see someone called Kilna Stain. I've not
Silna Stain. Yeah.
Makoshule Gana, whom we know, etc., etc. How did you form this group of people? People like Irfan Mangera, etc. How did you bring these people together? Where did you find them?
You know, it's actually, even to me, still a fascinating story, because the only person I've known a long time there, the longest in that group, is Makoshule Gana. We were introduced by a friend of mine, Zaman Lovu, I think around 2011, 2012, somewhere there. And he was trying to get me to join the DA, as he would do all the time. Vuyiswa, I met only last year. Lawrence Manaka, I met only last year. Debucho, only met last year. A lot of the guys I met only last year. Nick Benadel, I've known for some time. And Ishmael Kabela, I've known for some time as well. But what brought us together was really through networks of friends and people that were in the Rivonia Circle ecosystem. For instance, Irfan came via the Rivonia Circle, which was doing work with the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation and DOD and so on. And, you know, you get to know people and you find like-minded people that way. And that's still largely how we're finding people right across the country.
You spoke about Rivonia Circle. That sort of was the genesis of this political party called Rise Mzansi. Why form a think tank first and then a political party? Why that route?
There's a bit of background. So initially, Rivonia Circle was started by Luko Namguni, myself, the late Luzu Gogodi, and Lorato Tsengeng. What we wanted to do was to fundamentally transform the democracy and society. Participating in party politics is just one aspect of that. The role or the mission of Rivonia Circle is far broader than being in parliament and so on. So it was important that the core reason why we wanted to contribute to society becomes a think tank first, and that think tank exists on its own into perpetuity and is not subject to, you know, things in the political space.
Was it not an effort to circumvent the rules governing the formation of a political party? Was it not a mechanism to test the waters outside of the formal political environment?
No, not at all. You didn't need to do that. I mean, certainly the experience of Rivonia Circle was extremely useful in the sense that the insights we had in terms of, for instance, how we organize and mobilize people like we're doing now, that we learned through Democracy Builder at Rivonia Circle.
Mm-hmm.
So there were very valuable lessons there. But apart from the intellectual value that you get out of that, you can't really gain much else from that, because Rivonia Circle is a company with directors. A political party is a completely different sort of legal and other animal.
So you have nothing to do with Rivonia Circle now?
I'm not at Rivonia Circle at all. We are in the same building by coincidence, but I'm not involved at Rivonia Circle at all.
So let's talk about...
There are people, though, who are at Rise that we found through Rivonia Circle. Mm. And so that link is there in that sense.
You define Rise Mzansi as a party that's building a modern political organization of patriotic South Africans. You say we are organizing, mobilizing, and empowering citizens to build a country where people are free and able to pursue happiness and well-being.
Yeah.
What's a modern-day political party?
So modern, and I think it's modern in the sense of how we practice democracy right now and how democracy needs to be in the future, specifically in the South African context. What do we mean by that? The first is citizen empowerment through information is really important. So that's the first thing. The second thing is deepening citizen participation. In other words, and it's counterintuitive, we are setting out to deliberately weaken the influence of political parties over society. Gotta do that.
Talk to me, what does that mean?
That means that when we... And we explained this in our political reform package. So there is significant discretionary power that political institutions, especially the government executive, has.
But that's what a political party system is.
Not necessarily. Let me give you a very specific example. The president can appoint a Reserve Bank governor.
Mm.
The repo rate, in terms of the Reserve Bank Act, is set exclusively by the Reserve Bank governor.
Mm.
The MPC is not a creature of statute. You can check it. A president with bad intentions can appoint a Reserve Bank governor with bad intentions.
Like we saw in the NPA with the National
Labor Council. And your life and mine can change fundamentally tomorrow.
Mm.
One. Two, Parliament is supposed to oversee the executive.
Mm.
You've covered politics long enough to know that is the opposite.
Mm.
Can't be. So we need to change that. We need to rebalance the power arrangements between the three arms of the state, powers of parliament, electoral system, and so on, so that political parties don't have this overbearing, sort of increasingly anti-democratic power they have over the polity right now.
But to do that, you need to convince South Africans to vote for you. And you have to use the political system
exactly
to change it.
Absolutely. So now you see why you can't just have a think tank that makes suggestions on the side. You also have to use these ideas that you produce in the political space to win the support of the people, make the legislation, change the constitution if you must, so that society is fundamentally different thereafter.
So you have to become a cult-like political figure in the pursuit of doing away with cult-like political figures.
It's not about cult-like political figures. Here's a problem, Kanita. We have an imbalance of power between the two arms of the state in particular.
Hmm.
The executive is too powerful. And because the government executive is too powerful, it has weakened parliament. And this combination of the two has given us the problems that have brought us here, because the problems of the political party itself. So I hate talking about the ANC, but the ANC would say it was a strategic center of power.
Mm.
The strategic center of power for 9 years was at Saxonweld.
Yeah.
And there was nothing we could do about it.
Mm.
Surely. So that's got nothing to do with being a cult-like figure.
More of systems.
It's a systems issue. It's a constitutional creature or architecture issue that we've got to solve.
Let me put this to you. Very noble intentions. Me and you can wax lyrical about the need for this level of reform you talk about. But does my granny in Kimberley and your granny in the Eastern Cape still care about this?
So there are two types of issues in politics. There are the bread and butter issues. There are the systemic issues.
Mm.
The systemic issues influence whether you're going to solve the bread and butter issues or not. It's not an either or.
But you need people to vote for you.
No, sure. And by the way, when you see our manifesto, if I was hoping that they'd send it to you, you will see that we actually frame and use language that is extremely ordinary and relates people's experiences in the way that they tell them. We don't talk about this, for instance, in Zwelitsha, where I come from, you know, in you can't talk about that.
Yeah.
But where it is relevant, such as, you know, depending on who you're speaking to, you have to talk about it.
Mm.
Otherwise, you know, you also hide a critical aspect of our political agenda from the electorate. And we've got to say it.
Yeah. So, Ngesi, we'll come back to the topic around your manifesto launch. That's obviously happening tomorrow. It's a big one. But let's talk about the fact that every election cycle, there's a new hot political party on the scene. That captures headlines, that, you know, is the next big thing and then fizzles out. You'll remember Hang SA before that coup. At some point, you know, even the EFF formed part of that. But, I mean, the EFF was a little different in that way. But every elections, there's this kind of excitement just because you're the new kid on the block. And there's many new kids on the block, but there's just some that capture public discourse more than others. Patricia DeLille's Good Party did that, etc. And so Rise and Sansi falls part of that, particularly because it is seen as both an ANC and a DA light. Do you agree with that?
Well, let's talk about the first part of it and the critical difference. So we set out very specifically to avoid how the new political parties of old, let me put it like that, the previous new political parties have been. Personality, who's had squabbles in their party, or a high-profile figure, like Dr. Rampele, whom I like very much, but they're always built around an individual.
Right.
What we set out to do deliberately was to build from the ground up. And this has hit us. For instance, from a fundraising perspective, question number one, which big guns do you have in your arsenal? And typically these are ANC or DA people. And yet these are the parties away from which people are running.
But donors know that voters run behind big personalities.
Not necessarily, Kaneta. If that were true, you wouldn't have 62% of South Africans not voting for those big personalities. They would be rushing to the polls and they don't. Right? That's a fact. The most popular politician in South Africa, by far, objectively, is our president. The ANC's turnout in its own strongholds in 2021 was 42%. So there is no link between the two. Now I've forgotten your second question.
DA light and ANC light, depending who you're talking to.
I guess people can describe it like that. What we set out to do is to avoid the cheap, exciting rhetoric that achieves nothing. What we have chosen is a social democratic orientation for South Africa.
Left-leaning.
Center-left. Yeah, it's center-left. Right. With very clear social entitlements. That together define the material meaning of freedom. We believe that's what the ANC should have done from the onset. Sort of own it and not claim to be socialist when you're trying to do nothing of the sort. Because you end up nowhere. Make your choice. Mixed economy. You support private enterprise, you support state ownership, and you say exactly where these two meet.
Yeah.
And you take account of South Africa's history and what South Africans want, and you've got a formula. It's not difficult.
So you have become a catchment area of sort for disgruntled ex-DA leaders. Magoshule Gana first came to Rise Mzansi. Now this week we saw Kumero Molefe joining Rise Mzansi. How do you avoid a situation where Rise Mzansi becomes the sort of perceived to be, you know, the black version of the Democratic Alliance?
Well, I think we've only got like, what, three people that have
for come now
from, for three people that have come from the DA. So let me give you a sense of our activists, because party is its leaders, but it's generally its membership. So our supporters and volunteers are generally ANC voters, generally, right? Our organizing style and our politics speaks to an ANC that they wish was here, but it's not, right? 43 to 45% of our activists are unemployed. They are from areas that are ANC strongholds, they are from villages and that sort of thing. So I think there's too much of a focus in South Africa on personalities all the time to define the political project. And yet we sort out actually specifically to avoid big personalities. Mm. To be honest with you, the only reason Makajule is part of this is because he's my personal friend.
Mm.
And we've had these conversations for years. And eventually, I convinced him to leave the DA and do this with us. Other than that, you're talking two people? Or somebody from ASAPO, et cetera, in our organization.
You have said that you're going to submit a 400-member party list.
Yeah.
As in, if you vote for Rise Mzansi, these are the 400 people that are put forward as candidates for members of parliament.
Yeah.
That's a big task for a small political party. How are you going to find 400 credible people to submit to parliament? And how do you avoid people using Rise Mzansi as an employment vehicle?
So the panel that we've announced has started interviewing over 500 of them already. It's not difficult. What we decided to do was to, from the onset, do a separation between your position in the political party and what position you're going to hold in the state. And by state, I mean either parliament, legislature, or, you know, whatever, or the government. We did that deliberately because we recognize that political parties in and of themselves do not actually have the intellectual and skills capacity.
You need to mobilize.
You need to mobilize people in society. So we set out from the onset to mobilize people from society to do this with us. And that's what we're doing. So that's why it hasn't been hard.
So you said there was going to be a selection nomination committee, a NOMCOM, that's going to decide.
It's actually busy right now.
Busy right now, okay.
As we speak, yeah.
Let's talk about a hot topic, and that is your finances.
Yes.
Who is funding Rise Mzansi? And we'll tell you why that's important. Mshlali, you have a clip of Julius Malema questioning how Songezo can afford to put up posters in
even in Giani.
Let's take a listen.
You ask everybody about the money, about everything. You never ask Rise South Africa where they get the money from. Where do they get the money from? I mean, a person just comes from being a failed editor of a newspaper, and then he forms a party, and the next thing is every corner, including in Giani. That's a problem. It's a big problem, which the media is not paying attention to. So, those things of posters are very...
So, Ngezo Zibi, where are you getting your money from? Why has the issue of your funding become such a hot topic?
So, I mean, first of all, let me just say that as hard as it makes it to raise funds, and funny enough, Julius has explained specifically the problem that we also have, which are people who don't want to donate more than 100K because they're going to be known. So as hard as it makes it, I think the transparency around party political funding is a good thing. One. Secondly, we've actually submitted since our registration our sort of donor list since we became registered.
I've not seen it. Is it out?
No, you won't, because there was an objection to our registration from Arise South Africa, and our registration was delayed. So in that 4 weeks after our registration, we didn't get donations at that time.
Mm.
The next batch of donations, which is basically last 2 months of last year in Jan, will be in the following, because the electoral year ends in March.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a bit funny how it works.
So we will know who your donors are.
Yeah, and by the way, I mean, There'll be no surprises, by the way, in the
how much have
in
you
the,
fundraised
in the donors, and I'll come to that. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, we have three categories of donors. The first is ourselves and our own members. A lot of our own people use their own money to carry out the activities of the organization. Part of what those supporters do is to provide services in kind to us. So, for instance, our website was done for free. Some marketing services are free, etc., etc. T-shirts, not this one, but the other official type of golf shirts and bomber jackets and so on, all of those are free, right? We then get a second category, who are people who donate small amounts, and say small amount is, say, up to 99,000 rand.
Mm.
That is, by volume, the bigger number of people. And I think if that was...
So those are just rich South Africans who want to give you money.
Those are rich South Africans who actually can afford to give us a million, but they don't want to be victimized.
Mm.
So they don't. So we've established a system where we bundle these people up. So there's like 150 people out there bundling 10 of these people each to give us things. So the people buy, like, donate 500 T-shirts, etc., etc., or the equivalent thereof. So you've got... So by volume... That's the biggest number of donors. Then we've got high net worth individuals and trusts, all of whom are South African, because I think our electoral funding act says they've got to be South African and local.
So and you're not funded by some CIA-linked...
you know where that question comes from. They convince themselves that we're a party for the suburbs.
Right. Are you a party for the suburbs?
And we're not. And okay. The thing that shakes them is seeing our posters in Libode and Elliot Dale. And
I saw it in Reservoir Hills, where I come from in Durban.
No. Literally, you can go everywhere. What we did, so RISE began really in November last year, and what we focused on, and this is what having experienced people in the campaign helps with, just leave Twitter, focus on the ground, build your ground game. When we put up posters last November, we had about 180,000 posters. Ne?
Mm.
Our volunteers did that in 5 days.
Mm.
We've got people, but they still need to come around. It's the stages of grief, which is, it's not money. It's people on the ground. Our posters are put up by our own people
right.
in those areas. Now they're questioning their money, but what they're going to come around to is that come election season, we will match these parties man for man in every district we contest. By organizer and volunteer volume. And they will still say it's money, not politics. That's what bothers them.
Let's talk about your manifesto launch very quickly as we wrap up the conversation. Tomorrow you are launching your manifesto, which is actually your promise to South Africa.
Yes.
What will RISE Mzansi do should you be elected to Parliament? Quick sticks, what is it?
We will present policy proposals in the way that people experience them. Let me make one example. We mothers, whether they're single or married, we will find a package of proposals here that they will absolutely love, that will provide infrastructure for them and their families, that will put money in their pocket, and so on, firstly. Secondly, I can promise you, Kanita, the top five things that most people in most families speak about will be on our manifesto in a language that people relate to because we've listened to people very carefully
which
and
is
framed
what?
It that way. So we've got a section in the manifesto which is individual, family and community well-being.
Mm.
We describe what a better life looks like, but in a way that people can relate to. And we say specifically which 10 things need to change in your life in order for you to get a better life.
How many people are you expecting?
We're expecting about 4,000 people.
As we wrap up, Songezo Zibi, all the best for tomorrow.
Thank you.
Meklali, our... audio producer and podcast extraordinaire has some questions for you.
Sure.
It is a rapid fire section.
So I need
this
to give
interview.
Short answer.
And 3, 2, 1, Mhlali, let's go.
Right. So the first question is, who did you vote for in the 2019 national elections?
I split between the UDM and the DA.
Right.
So Bantu Holimisa has to thank you.
It's my uncle.
Oh, yeah. Right. I mean, you actually have worn so many caps in corporate and also in journalism, but
yeah.
Which profession do you prefer? Industry do you prefer?
The most rewarding was journalism.
Mm. Why?
because you can feel your contribution to society.
Right. And what's the one thing you love about South Africa and the one thing you hate the most about South Africa?
What I love about South Africa is the generosity of the people.
Mm.
And what I don't like about South Africa is how little we tend to think of ourselves.
Not load shedding.
No. You can live with that. We didn't have electricity for 5 days back home during Christmas, so I'm still alive.
Right. And final question. Should you become president, what's the one perk you're looking forward to?
Be honest. Be honest, yeah.
Sure.
Blue lights.
Not driving myself. Actually, it's really not driving myself. Not even the blue lights, but not driving myself.
In other words, Songezo Zibi wants an Uber driver. Thank you so much for talking to us. We will obviously have a lot more conversations with you in the run-up to the 2024 general elections. All the best for tomorrow.
Thank you.
Our team will be covering your manifesto launch, Rise Mzansi manifesto launch. You can catch it all on news24.com. That's all the time we have for now. Until next time, stay tuned to News 24 and good day.